This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, pastor here at Radio Missions, where the gospel goes out, where the Voice of Truth broadcast is sent out every Sunday over about 45 radio stations across this land. Where the Old Trailblazer goes out, now we're on about 40 stations up and down the South, East Coast, up there in Mid-America, Central America, in the Appalachian, up in there in West Virginia, all those places. And we have opportunity to go on several new stations. May the Lord lay it on your heart to help me with the broadcast. It costs money to send out this Old Trailblazer broadcast. But we'll bring in your series of studies now on the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we hadn't been there too long, several studies. And we're looking now at the Church of Ephesus. In our last study, we looked at the salutation there, how the Lord addressed the church at Ephesus. But today, we're coming down there to where he's the condemnation. Let's begin read there. Let's notice our Lord's commendation of this church. Not condemnation, I said now, commendation. It is a marvelous commendation. Let's look. So much until we are prone to ask, could there be anything wrong with this noble church? 7 points in which he commends them. I know thy works. I know thy labors. I know thy patience. I know how thou canst not bear them which are evil. I know how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. I know how thou hast borne and hast patience and labored for my name's sake. And then I know how thou hast not fainted or grown weary. I know thy works, he says. This church was not a comfortable social club where they sat up in their committee meetings and smoked big cigars and gossiped and drank green tea. No, they never went to religious movies on Sunday night and done away with their services there. It was an active, aggressive congregation of the saints. That's what I like to see. Don't you like to see that? We have mission places in several cities, a little group here, a little group there. And I like to go there, and those folks are happy to see someone come, me or one of the brethren come there, and they make everything ready and necessary, and they help get out the gospel, they support the work, and they put out the booklets here and there and yonder, and they invite folks to church. Listen now. It says here, that it was an active, aggressive congregation, and it was the family of God meeting together for worship. Then he said, I know thy toil, I know thy labor. It signifies that they toiled at the cost of pain and suffering. Did you know if it doesn't cost you anything, it's not worth anything? Oh, we have folks now, even right here in our own congregation, who, I'm just too tired to go out on Sunday night. But they can sit up and watch television till all hours of the night, or either they can play golf all the evening. Well, you know, it looks like it's going to come a little shower of rain, and I might catch a flu. I might catch a cold. But my friend, listen, this was something that these folks did. It cost them something to do it. What they offered to their master through their church cost them something, just like yours if you are doing anything. As someone said, they were working at the price of great toil. As one might behold them, they would appear to be a flawless church. One of the things that folks tell about the Old Trailblazer here and this ministry and those who've gone on before me, it said that the pastor never rusted out. He burnt out. Oh, I meet preachers here in the bookstore, and they say, well, you know, I'm retired now. My church is in good hands, and I'm retired now. And I just travel a little. My wife and I just travel a little and see the country, and I'm retired. And I talked to an old man the other day here, elderly man, and I said, well, pastor, I'm the pastor emeritus now. I said, well, pastor, I don't know where the Lord ever decommissioned a preacher. Do you? I don't know that he ever took back his commission. If you were commissioned in the beginning, I tell folks here, we don't rust out. We burn out. There never has been a preacher retired from the First Baptist Church of Algiers, nor from radio missions, nor the old Trailblazer broadcast. No, no, listen, my friend. I do not know of a preacher but who would want to be the pastor of such a church as that one at Ephesus. They did not sit down and let the pastor do all the work. You know, that's the common thing today. Well, the pastor, you know, the radio broadcast, it costs much money. Well, the pastor will get the money somehow. The pastor will pray hard enough that the Lord will send the money. But what about you, my friend? Well, I can't give. Grandma's sick. I can't give. Well, my friend, the Bible doesn't give you any excuse. The scripture says, will a man rob God? Yea, yet ye have robbed me in tithes and in offering. I tell you, one of the saddest aspects of the church life in our nation today is the lack of folks supporting the work. That's right. I know folks who support the work generously, overboard. They give joyously, but I know a lot who put the hand in the, put the money in the hand, double up the fist, and put the fist in their pocket, and you couldn't prize it out with a 2x4. No, my friend. And then I know people who has a nest egg laid up, 401k, IRA, or whatever those things are, have them laid up, and they're right on the verge of eternity now, and they're going to leave it, and some ungodly child is going to come along and blow it in on wine, women, and song, and take grandma and grandpa's money or papa and mama's money and have a high heel time on it. Oh, my friend, is that what you want to do? I tell folks often, if you want to be sure, you leave your money to some godly organization. I'm not talking about one of these places that send it over there to some foreign country and they give you a picture of a baby without any clothes on and say, send me some money. I'm not talking about that. Those things are awful. But those people, usually it's a scam when they do that. But you send it here to Radio Missions, and I'll make sure that it gets sent to missionaries over. We send Bibles and books and literature and radio broadcasts. That's what we spend God's money for. We don't have no large condominiums in the mountains and long shining buses to go to the beach with and all of those. No, sir. We put God's money in the work of getting out the gospel. And listen, this church, they didn't sit down and let their pastor do all the praying, all the giving, all the arranging for finances. No, the pastor didn't have to drag them. You're not to drag them, no, or to beg the women to, and then put on a picture show at night to get the young people to come. No, no, sir. They came because they were saved and loved the Lord, or because they wanted to be saved. They wanted to be where the gospel was going out, perchance and perhaps that this day the Holy Spirit might come by and say unto their soul, live. He also said, I know thy patience. Patience is mentioned here twice in connection with their service and their suffering. They carried on the work without grumbling, murmuring, complaining, and there was a meekness and a willingness there about their work that was a wonderful thing to see. Oh, my friend, what joy a pastor receives when he sees his folks willing to work. When you call a work day and folks turn out, when you call a day to have something going on in the office where you need some volunteers, not just one or two come. No, there's always one or two that's faithful. Yeah, but what about you folks that's out there somewhere that you could lend a hand? Would you call your pastor and say, Pastor, I'm not doing anything this week. You got anything there I can do? Oh, would that break your jaw to say that, my friend? And then notice the fourth commendation. I know that thou canst not bear evil men. I want to just praise the Lord. There was no impurity or sin condoned within the borders of this church. No sin. Folks call me old fool and old fashioned and old crazy. But my friend, one of the things that I do here, the Lord leads me to do. I do not allow young people or old people to come into my sanctuary with a ring in their nose and a ring in their lip and a chain hanging between the two and all of those things with blue and purple and green hair and all of those things. I don't allow that. I tell them to clean up or clear out. That's right. You say, well, that's cruel. Well, you ought to. No, I ought to not do nothing except hold order in the church. I keep order in the church, my friend. And then folks call themselves shacking up, have a relationship going. I expose them to the high heaven. You say, well, you're cruel. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm being true to their soul. The scripture calls on me to reprove and rebuke with all long-suffering. Surely I'm long-suffering with them. I do. I'm kind to them. I pray for them. I pray with them. But listen now, the church at Ephesus practiced discipline. We don't have any of that today, do we? No, sir, we don't have any of that today. I was just dealing with a young pastor who has an old woman in his church that's a hooking bull. She was there before he got there, and she says she is assistant pastor. And I told him, I said, you get up behind your pulpit and take a stand and call her name and say she is not the assistant pastor. She is not the assistant anything in this church. I'm the pastor. The Lord gave me this pulpit. He didn't give it to her. And I told him of this little occasion. She told him what she was. Brother Spurgeon one day was beginning to make his way up to his pulpit. And this lady got up and come down the aisle and said, Brother Spurgeon, the Lord gave me a message for you. And he just stopped her. And he said, no, ma'am. He said, you know what? The Lord gave me a message for you. And he told me for you to go back to your seat and sit down and shut up. Now, that's what the Lord gave him. My friend, the Lord doesn't speak to anybody to bring me a message or you a message, either one. The Lord speaks to me through his word by the Holy Spirit. Give me what to preach and what to say. But no woman, no man, anyone has brings me a message and tells me what to say. No. And I praise the Lord. Brother Spurgeon took a stand, and I hope this young preacher will take a stand against that old hooking bull. Yeah, you know what a hooking bull is? Back there in the country when I was a kid, a boy, they always had an old bell cow. We had cattle in the woods, a dozen or two cows in the wood, and a bull or two, and a yearling or two, but they always had an old bell cow. She would lead the other flock. And my dad had put a bell on her so we could find her, find the cows in the woods when we began to look for them. But she was always into something. You shut them up in the pen, she's the first one to go over the fence. But she was, and then we had what they call a hooking bull. Always wanted to run everything. And we have that in the church today. Invariably, you'll find a bell cow and a hooking bull. I've seen pastors who stood on behind their pulpit and had to look over towards where their wife sat to get the okay to say something, especially something maybe that would cut somebody to pieces a little bit, and she'd have to give him a wink and a nod not to say it. My friend, that must be a miserable thing. I don't know anything about that because we don't allow that. We don't have that. And this church at Ephesus didn't have that either. No, sir. It's a common thing today to admit men known to be in bad fellowship and permit them to hold a high office. A high office. I have a great friend here told me that he had a man who was on his pulpit committee or sat on his pulpit during the services, and he found out he had a shack up, a live-in. He called him up behind the pulpit and said, Mister, you're not welcome here until you clean up and clear out. Now, my friend, we don't have much of that, do we? You know why? Because our pastors don't have a backbone. They just have a gristle. That's what my daddy used to tell me. But I tell them to get a broomstick and stick up their backbone and preach hell off the cross. The old trailblazer gets rough sometimes. But, my friend, I tell it because your soul is at stake. You may be on your road to hell. I wish you'd stop and think. Remember my address, the old trailblazer, post office box, 1810 Walker, Louisiana, 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. And write me, would you, and help me with the broadcast? You say, I don't believe a thing you say, old trailblazer. Would you write me and tell me? And let's talk about it. I'll pray with you and pray for you. And you pray for me. Would you do that? I wish you would. And send me $100. Will you do that? Say, old trailblazer, here's $100. Go on another radio station with. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.
This month, Radio Missions is offering a new flash drive containing the original Old Trailblazer broadcasts as presented by Pastor L.R. Shelton in the early days of the ministry. These flash drives contain over 100 historic messages with sound effects. Each flash drive is $15 postpaid. For information, call the church office at 225-664-8658. That's 225-664-8658.